There was a practice parade in anticipation. Of course, the officers got the men on the parade ground 3 hours before Ike and his party arrived. Of course, the men cursed the army and its ways. Eisenhower finally arrived. He drove past the whole division, then climbed up on a reviewing stand to give a speech. He announced that the division had received a Presidential Distinguished Unit Citation, the first time in the history of the Army that an entire division had been so cited for its performance at Bastogne. In a short speech, Ike was effusive in his praise. "You were given a marvelous opportunity in Bastogne, and you met every test. I am awfully proud of you." He concluded with a mixture of praise and exhortation. "With this great honor goes also a certain responsibility. Just as you are the beginning of a new tradition, you must realize, each of you, that from now on the spotlight will beat on you with particular brilliance. Whenever you say you are a soldier of the 101st Division, everybody, whether it's on the street, in the city, or in the front line, will expect unusual conduct of you. I know that you will meet every test of the future like you met it at Bastogne." Webster, who was becoming ever more the cynic about the army, and who was exercising vigorously the soldier's right to grouse, was impressed in spite of himself. Private O'Keefe commented, "Even the new replacements like myself felt enormous pride in marching in that review." For Lieutenant Foley, there was the surprise to end all surprises. Standing behind General Taylor was his senior aide, none other than Captain Norman Dyke. Sergeant Hale, who had had his throat slashed in the Ardennes, and who had medical permission to go without a tie, had his Bronze Star presented to him by General Eisenhower. Ike wanted to know why he was not wearing a tie. Hale explained. When General Taylor confirmed Hale's story, Ike gave his big laugh and said Hale was the only man in the entire European theater of operations to pull this one off. There were furloughs and leaves to England, the Riviera, Paris, Brussels, and evening passes to Reims. Captain Spears got to go to England, where he had married a British woman who believed her husband had been killed in North Africa. Foley got to Paris, and on return confessed he could not remember a thing. There were some USO shows, with big-name performers, including Marlene Dietrich. Garrison life was soft, but it had its price. To bring discipline and appearance up to a proper rear echelon standard,